Hello, this is Jill Conneth, and I'm here today with Trish Bertuzzi. She's the author of a hot new book that just came out called The Sales Development Playbook, Build Repeatable Pipeline and Accelerate Growth with Inside Sales. Trish is also the founder and president of The Bridge Group, Inc., which is the number one inside sales consultancy in North America. And Salesforce has selected her as one of the top thought leaders globally, one of the top 24. So, Trish, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Jill. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, your book is really good, and that's why I wanted to share it with all my followers and readers of my newsletter, because I think there's some really good insights in it that everybody can take away.
I'm hoping so.
Yeah, there are. No, there really are. So let me just start out. You talk about sales development, and this book is about sales development as a role. Can you explain what that position is? Because it's not the same as salesperson, is it?
It is not. So, as you mentioned before, my area of focus is inside sales. Inside sales is very much an umbrella term covering a variety of functions. And where we've focused in this book is in one of those functions, which we and many others have categorized as sales development. So sales development under the inside sales umbrella are people responsible for the front end of the sales process. They either set introductory meetings or they generate qualified opportunities for their sales partners.
So this is a growing area of sales right now, isn't it?
It's absolutely one of the fastest growing areas in sales there is. We've finally come to the realization that role specialization is the key to productivity.
And so the people that you work with, these sales development reps who are the very, very, very front end of the sales process, what do they have to do and be good at and be specialists at that other people don't?
So there's a lot of things they really have to be good at. But if I had to sort of give you a synopsis of some of the key areas, I think if you're converting inbound leads or you're doing outbound prospecting, when you're talking to your potential buyers who are inundated by messaging, whether it's voicemail, email, whatever the case may be, the key to success is rising above the noise. And to rise above the noise, you have to be human, you have to be relevant, you have to be interesting, you have to arouse curiosity, and you have to be able to close on the next step so people will engage with your sellers.
Because you have these people don't have a lot of time for conversations, right? I mean, do they actually get on the phone when they talk to people, or do they try to do things without getting people on the phone?
Well, I have a theory. I say no sale starts until somebody has a conversation.
Okay.
So they absolutely use a variety of media to get engaged with the buyer. They're going to use phone, voicemail, email, social, text. I don't care what video, I don't care what they use to get to engagement, but that's their job, is to get to engagement and launch the sales process so the seller can take over.
You're right. There's a ton of competition in order for anybody to do that. And I work with salespeople all the time too. And one of the things that I find happening is that in many sales organizations that I work with, salespeople that are out there are working some bigger accounts, and they're really struggling to find the time to do the prospecting. And they're struggling because they don't do it all the time. They're actually struggling with how to do it well. So the people that you're working with, that's all they do.
That is their charter, to get the seller to engagement. Absolutely.
Okay, so I talk to a lot of these companies, and everybody I know seems to be interested in hiring a sales development rep or somebody who can do that function. And they sort of think that we'll just, hire somebody to make the calls for us. Do do you find companies thinking that that's all it takes, is they just have to hire somebody to make the calls?
Well, I think there's been an evolution about that role. I think I used to hear a lot, I'm just going to hire some young, hungry kids.
Yeah, exactly.
To bang on the phones, right?
Yep.
But then
yep.
I think we started to realize, well, wait a second. You only have one chance to make a first impression, and someone who's young, hungry, and banging on the phones isn't necessarily creating the impression with my potential buyer that I want. So then I think there was a shift to hiring people who are much more articulate, who are much more fluent in the buyer's language, who could establish credibility much faster, and that became a trend. But then those people became impossible to find because demand so far outstrip supply. I mean, it's crazy, right?
I mean, because so many people were looking for that same human being.
Absolutely.
Because they were all moving to, we're going to offload this work from our field sales reps or our, you know, account managers. We're going to offload that and get these people specialized to work at home, but there's not enough good people.
Bingo. That's exactly correct. So because of that lack of supply and this unbelievable demand, we've started backpedaling. So now we're going to people with less experience once again. And it's even got to the point in the hiring model where I swear to God, I say to my clients, this is not a strategy. Ready? Bad breath is not better than no breath at all. You know what I mean? Like, don't make a bad hire just to put a butt in the seat because, yeah. You know, you're doing yourselves and your buyers a disservice. So I think, you know, we are hiring with less experience, but that brings with it a whole nother set of challenges, right, that companies have to be ready to address about coaching, about training, about onboarding, about giving our SDRs the fluency they need to have credible conversations. So it's brought on a whole new category of challenges that companies are now having to address.
So one of the things that your firm does, and I'm going to move away from the book a little and talk about what your firm actually does, because I know you actually talk about that in the book too, but you do playbooks for these companies.
We do. So philosophically, we believe that you have to give people the language with which to communicate with your buyers, and you have to give them a process they can follow, particularly if you're hiring first or second job out of college. If you think about it, Jill, if you're hiring a millennial or someone who's their first or second job out of college, they've spent 22 years of their life being told what to do, right? By their parents,
correct,
by their educators. Yep. And then they go to the workforce, and we look at them, and we're like, all right, kiddo, you figure it out.
Have go get it. Them. You're all ready, right? Go
right?
get them.
It doesn't make sense. So one of the things that Sales Playbooks does is provide those people with the information they need to understand their buyers, because that is the number one thing that companies need to do to be successful, and then give them the process, the message, the tools, the cadence, and the media they need to be effective in either inbound lead conversion or outbound intelligent reach and have those kinds of conversations. So they can't figure it out on their own. They don't know how. You have to provide them with the playbook and give them the tools they need to be successful.
So let's talk about the information that they need to learn about the buyer. What from your perspective, what's crucial that they understand? Because you said it starts with the buyer.
Everything starts with the buyer. So our theory is you never talk about what you do in the initial stages of onboarding. So if you hire someone, first or second job out of college, and you say, okay, our target buyer is a CFO, they're going to go, uh-huh. They don't even know what CFO stands for, right?
What's a CFO?
Right? So how are they going to have conversations with that person? So what you have to do is say, all right, ready? We're going to sell to CFOs. Here's what a day in their life looks like. Here's the challenges they face. Here's how they're currently addressing those challenges. Here's how they're measured. Once you immerse your team in that buyer persona, then you can say to them, okay, got it? You totally get that CFO thing now, right? All right, now here's what we do to help them be more successful. and all of a sudden they have an aha moment and they get it.
Because they have the foundation now. They understand why it's even needed and what difference it makes.
Exactly. But if
you know, it's funny that you mentioned first and second job out of college. My second job out of college was for Xerox, where I was hired to sell copiers. And I remember calling on law firms, and they use words like briefs. And I had no idea what briefs were except underwear. But that's true. I had no idea. And I had come from education, and I go and people asked me about purchase orders. And I went, purchase orders? I mean, I didn't know stuff that was so obvious to anybody who'd been in business for any length of time, but I was totally clueless.
Exactly. And you know what? So here's the other challenge when you think about that. So, you know, you were selling to a buyer where it was legal, and they talked about briefs and purchase orders, and I'm sure there was other very buyer-specific language.
Oh, my God.
Language.
All this terminology I didn't understand. Right.
Well, then think about it. If you have an SDR, a sales development rep, and you say, okay, you're going to sell to CFOs, you're going to sell to CMOs, and you're going to sell to VPs of sales. All right.
Oh, my God.
Right?
I'm going into overwhelm. I'm thinking of my younger self who moved into sales. I would absolutely be in total overwhelm having to call on three different people with three different concerns and challenges and responsibilities.
Yeah. The way an analogy is, you just ask them to fluently speak French, Italian, and German.
Yes, that's a good description.
Right?
Fluently.
Because
yes.
Those people don't care about the same things.
Right.
Yeah. That's another thing when people think about onboarding, is that we recommend, you know, especially if you have a new group, pick a buyer persona, get people fluent in the language of that buyer persona, and then introduce another. Don't ask them to learn three languages at once.
Learn French first, and then yes. French is a little bit like Italian, so
bingo.
Then we're going to move you over to the Italian.
Exactly.
Yes, and then maybe we'll do Spanish next, because now you're getting fluent at building, speaking all these different languages.
Love it.
So that's what you have your that's what you train people to do when they're onboarding people. Don't try to send them out to call on everybody. Just focus them in on either one position or perhaps one market segment.
And you have to figure out how people learn to make that all work. Yes, absolutely.
What do you mean how they make it, how they learn to make it all work? Talk to me about that.
Well, there's ways, particularly salespeople learn, that mm-hmm. you have to be cognizant of. You know, in the olden days, we used to hook people up to the fire hose and have at it, right?
That never worked too well.
That never worked too well. Or
no.
We'd say to them, go sit with Mark. Mark is smart, right?
Yeah.
One of the analogies that we use in the book is, you know, people would say, go sit with Mark. Mark is smart. But if you said to someone, go ride around with Trish. Trish is a good driver. If I never actually drove, and you just right, and you just watched me drive, but you didn't get the concepts of clutch, brake, direction. I mean, it just doesn't work.
Well, you know, if I was just watching you drive, I might just say, well, she just moved her hands a lot. You know, she had this on this round wheel, and she moved her hands a lot, and the car moved when she turned her hands.
Exactly.
I might have totally missed the feet action.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So onboarding, you spend a lot of time talking about that in your book. How long does it take to actually onboard somebody to get them to proficiency from what you found?
There is no one answer to that question, and I'll tell you why. If there's no one answer to any question, which is why I hate books that say there's one answer and here's what it is and you should go implement it, you know, which actually is what caused me to write the book, is because there's so many books out there that says this is exactly how you should do this. And I'm like, no, there's variables.
Yeah.
I even started a hashtag that I love now called hashtag variables matter, right? When it comes to sales. But I think, you know, you have to think about where you are. So the variables that matter are, do you have brand and name recognition? Like if you're working for Salesforce.com and you're an SDR, you can call any buyer and go, hi, I'm with Salesforce. They're going to listen to you, right? So
they may not like you because they have perceptions that it's too big of a company or we can't afford
or whatever.
Or whatever, but They know where you come from.
Right. They're going to listen because you're the you're the gorilla in the marketplace. So that's a variable. Another variable is what level in the organization you're calling into. I mean, onboarding someone who can be fluent talking to a CEO or a CIO or a CRO or a CTO is totally different than someone who's going to be talking to a manager of application development or a system administrator or someone whose view of the world is a little bit more tactical and easier to understand. So that's another variable. And then another variable is if you're selling in my fluency is in the technology space. So if you know Jeffrey Moore's technology adoption lifecycle, if you're selling it to innovators and early adopters, you've got to be super fluent and super articulate in getting them to understand that there's a better way to do something versus if you're selling antivirus software or something that's in the laggard or majority space that they totally already get. So fluency and onboarding really depend on a bunch of different variables. So,
well, so you're just not making it easy for anybody, huh?
It is. It's actually not that complicated. It just has to be well thought out.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people really don't understand that. I mean, I've seen a lot of, you know, like I said, a lot of organizations that have brought one or two people on to start out this initiative. And have done kind of what you said, you know, giving them the phone and talked about their product. And they're forcing them to try to speak all three languages, and they're failing miserably.
Yeah, and it's actually sad for them because they're not getting the kind of results they want.
Right.
And it's really sad for the rep because, you know, it's not like we hire SDRs. You know, they don't come out of college and go, give me a phone, give me a list, give me some leads. I can't wait to suffer rejection all day long. You know, but if you do it right, what a mind-blowing career this is. What a mind-blowing career. If you can qualify an opportunity, I always say qualifying is the hardest part. Anybody can close. A monkey can close a deal. All they do is ask hard questions, right? You just ask all the closing questions.
Listen, I work with a lot of monkeys, so I wouldn't say it's quite that easy.
Well, it's not quite that easy, but you get, I mean, getting to go, no-go is the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
You do that well, and you can figure out the rest. And so it's a huge, I mean, inside sales reps are spending 8 to 12 months in a role, and they're getting promoted. So
to what? Where are they going after that? I see a lot of young people going into inside sales, going in as the SDR or business development reps.
Yep.
I see it happening a lot. I encourage people to do it. What growth path do you see for these people?
So, you know, we encourage people to think about internal growth paths. So are there different levels you can create for SDRs, either based on how far they take the opportunity or the people they call on, or can they pick up new skills? So it used to be that the only role for the SDR was SDR into a closing role. And that's still huge. I mean, that's still a career path, a great career path into sales. But when you think about the people we're hiring, first or second job out of college, they probably took the job with you because someone told them they should, or they, you know, a recruiter called them. And they don't know what they want to be when they grow up, right? Some of us, even at my age.
Who does? You know, I mean,
exactly.
I don't know what I want to be. Yeah.
So if you find someone with unbelievable talent in your organization, I think you have to think outside the sales silo and say, this person is talented. Give them an opportunity to explore marketing, customer success, finance, sales, you know, sales engineering, account management. Let them explore your company. We get so focused on the sales silo that sometimes we lose talent that we regret.
That's a really good option because if they can be successful in a sales development position, that's a job that requires creativity, it requires grit, it requires adaptive knowledge, and they're probably pretty savvy people, pretty smart ones.
And they're tenacious?
Tenacious, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what you want.
And they're curious?
To stick with something. And,
yeah. And I love grit factor.
Pardon?
I love the whole grit factor.
Yeah, that research on grit in terms of it, you know, being resilience being so crucial in success today is pretty fascinating.
Actually, on our website, we have a grit quiz that people can take.
Okay, and what's your website?
It's bridgegroupinc.com, and if you go to the resources page, you can find the grit quiz.
Okay, and I know you have a ton of other things on the resources page, so as long as we're there, what else is on the resources page that you can tell people about?
Yeah, we have been doing research on inside sales as an industry pretty much longer than anyone else. We founded the business in 98, and starting in about 2007, we started publishing inside sales metrics and compensation reports, because those are the areas people are really interested in. So we average about 300 to 400 participants in our surveys, and we get very particular. So, you know, if you're outside of technology, I'm sorry, they might be interesting, but maybe not as relevant, but you can use some kind of fudge factor. But if you're in technology, we offer three different flavors of the metrics and comp reports. We do inside sales for SaaS, which is self-explanatory. We do sales development metrics and compensation reports. And then we do something we call the inside sales report, which covers team selling and on-premise software. So the beauty
your report,
of
your reports are really interesting too, Trish. I've been through them, and they're well done. They're easy to read, and they really show some vital information that sales leaders would find extraordinarily helpful, I think.
Well, thank you, Jill. And you know what the best part is?
What?
They're free.
No, you should charge $250 for them.
But I don't. They're free.
I know.
They're
okay.
Our gift to the community.
That's nice. That's very cool.
Yeah.
And I would strongly encourage anybody who's listening to check out your resources page, because the depth of your research and your resources is extraordinary, and you don't find that on very many consulting sites.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so Trish, our time is running to a close right now. And I just want to say once again that I really do love your book. Everything you know comes through that book. It's spelled out really, really clearly, and it's funny.
I'm glad you think so. We did attempt to include humor as well as information.
And I want to say it's really fun to read because it's sassy, and it's like your voice comes right through, and I feel like you're talking to me as I'm reading the book, and you're kind of kicking my ass, and you know, we're having fun as we're talking about this subject together. But I honestly believe that this is the book that people who are looking at starting an inside sales or team or an SDR team, or people that already have one, should absolutely read and use it as a benchmark for what the best companies out there are doing.
Well, I appreciate that, Jill. That was our goal.
Yes, and it's on Amazon right now, right?
It is, in both paperback and Kindle version, and hopefully in the next few months we'll come out with an audio version as well.
Awesome. So thank you so much for being with us. Anybody who's listening in, go check it out, The Sales Development Playbook by Trish Bertuzzi. It'll be well worth your time. Thank you, Trish.
Thank you, Jill.